You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're at right now?
Be a man.
You act like you don't eat quickly.
Nah, to
like,
be honest,
this is how it happens. Like,
that's what I just did, live. To be honest with you. But I ain't go ahead and start hiccuping. We are live. Where are the real eaters at? We here.
Here, so as soon as we get live, we hear Donovan and Mo debating the merits of hiccuping and whether it's manly or not.
I need to go to the doctor to see if it's like something that I can cure, if it's something that's like wrong with me. Because I do hiccup fairly often. I think like once a day. Once a day, I have a case of the hiccups.
Probably. Once a day?
At least like every day is crazy. You need to man up. I feel like,
and listen, maybe it's a little bit less than that. I do feel like I hiccup more than the average person.
Yeah, that's a bit of a red flag, honestly. I don't know if you should tell your fiance about that.
I mean, she knows. She's experienced it. Like, I've been told to shut up, but like I can't. It's hard.
Duct tape is made.
What's up, everybody? I see everybody spamming.
How are we late? Shut
up.
We're on time.
People are also spamming. Mo is back. Correct. He's back. You know, he was on hiatus last week. Had a replacement with Rusty Buckus for a week. His twin brother. But we're here. He's back from the hood. How are you doing, Mo?
Demon home.
Back from the hood is crazy. I am home. I am back. Had a
people don't know where
vacation.
You were. They all people were all saying that the hood took you back.
The hood took me back. I got sucked into the shadow realm again.
Yeah. They don't know where you were. I just told them you were in a different country.
That's hilarious, bro. But yeah, we are back. What happened?
Oh, Kevin Galicki, man. As soon as we start, if y'all haven't seen the past streams, Kevin Galicki is our richest fan. He comes in every week and drops bands. He just donated $50. He said, I'm back from vacay, and I'm ready to get back to ice cold Massachusetts.
Woo.
Wow. A shout out to Elena for also taking $5.
I was on vacation with Kevin Galicki. That's where I was really at. Kevin, back
you were in the Bahamas with him?
Bora Bora.
That's funny. Yeah, literally, as soon as we fire the stream, Kevin Galicki and Elena both donate. Our two most active donations. Shout out them. Yeah, man. How you guys feeling? How are you feeling after a week off of streaming?
Good to be back, man. I needed this. I needed this energy. I've sometimes we're late and sometimes we skip. Last week I actually did miss it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What did you see by the title today? It's gonna be a little more of a podcasty type of stream than we usually do. We're gonna talk about the NBA players that have the most playoff pressure, most to prove this playoff run. We're gonna get to that after we do our normal thing, right? We're gonna go through our doc, go through our news stories, talk about all the most recent things, do whatever. But after that we have Some slander, I think, right? Some players talk about that have a lot to prove for negative reasons, mostly.
That's what of we course. Do best.
That's what you do best. Shout out to JRM37 for donating $1. Yeah, man, let's get straight into the news stories. Let's get straight into the main intro.
While you're pulling this doc up, y'all eaters, wherever you come from, whether it's the main pod, the TikToks, crayon eaters, or just eaters in general, leave a like on the stream. We only have, 300 people watching this? Solid number starting this 3, 4, 5 minutes into the stream. But 28 likes. That is a damn shame.
A damn shame.
I'm talking to you right now. Tragic.
Hey, man. First news story. If you guys didn't see it, Kyrie Irving hit a game-winning shot, and it was gorgeous. It was one of the most high-difficulty game-winning shots I can imagine, and it happened in a big game, I think, versus the Denver Nuggets, in which it looked like the Nuggets were going to come back and steal the win after trailing for most of the game. And Kyrie wins in Kyrie fashion, and, you know, it reignited the talk of, is Kyrie the most skilled player of all time? Is he one of the best late-game shot makers? All this stuff. all his fans are validated with this sick ass play. How did y'all feel when you saw it?
This is what he does, man. This is what he does. And I've kind of been like, like what skill, like how are we defining it? Nah, man, he got it. He got the title. Yeah, exactly. he won it. Left hand hook, a left hand running hook for game is crazy.
From that's that D2? Insane.
It's 20 foot, 20, 22 feet away from the basket.
It's damn near a 3-point shot.
That's a high school three.
Oh my gosh, you're right. That is a high school three.
While fasting, he did that shit on an empty stomach.
Oh my goodness, Kyrie. That's crazy as hell. I could barely lift myself up to do 10 dips. You're doing this over a 6'11", 7-footer Nikola Jokic, who was playing really good defense. It's one of the greatest buzzer beaters that I've seen in a very, very long time, for sure.
Yeah, man. It's glorious. And as you guys see, everybody's going crazy over it. The whole team is storming the court. It was just, there's a clip of Luka looking happy as shit. He's freaking out.
No, everyone's like, he relax. Fell to his knees immediately. As soon as he hit that shit, he was just like, he didn't know how to celebrate at all. He's like, I can't believe it, yo.
I can't believe it.
That's why Kyrie's like, that's why this shot is one of like the greatest in NBA history, because literally leading people to faith, like Luka's dropping down to his knees to just thank the heavens and be like, "Oh my God, how did that go in?" This is what Kyrie does. This is what watching Kyrie play basketball at his peak is a spiritual experience.
Hey, hold on, Donovan. I'm gonna need you to shut the hell up real quick. So first off, Kevin Galicki donated $40 again. Appreciate you, Kevin. Archie just donated $300.
What?
What the fuck? Y'all spam up Archie W. What the hell?
$300?
He said, hey guys, been a fan for months. I've been watching every episode at work. Really makes the 12-hour shifts easier. Many thanks. Excited to keep watching more of you guys. Listen, Archie, we'll make all the content you want. That's what it's going to be like. We appreciate you, Archie.
Hey, listen, y'all got it. I'm going to accept that money right now. Hold up. Y'all keep talking. Hey, y'all keep talking.
Shout out to you, Archie. Oh, my goodness.
No chargebacks.
12-hour shifts. People like you are the reason why this country moves so smoothly. Shout out to you.
Yeah, shout out Kevin Galicki. Shout out JRM37 donating another $3. And shout out Matthew for donating another $10. Appreciate all y'all, man.
Ooh. Shout out
Do we have the most breaded fans?
I don't know. We have a young-ass fan base. We have some of the best. Y'all are richer than everybody I know. This is crazy.
Yeah, our base against any other base. Band for band, put them up. I dare any other podcast try. Yeah,
our
base.
Our fans are breaded as fuck. And yeah, I try to like lead the donations to after the thought's over before we move to the next topic. But when someone comes in and drops $300, Donovan, I'm sorry. You got to shut up.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Luka was over the moon. This is the first time he's had a star teammate for real since the KP thing didn't work out. And someone said, how will Kevin respond? Never banned from man
sesh. What you prepared to do is a legacy.
Nobody believes in you. On to the next story. LeBron James is a fucking podcaster now, yo. The podcast is finally happening. The Mind of the Game pod, him and JJ Redick, are going to have a pod where they dive deep into X's and O's and really talk basketball, show people that LeBron James' mind of dissecting every play. Every week, Tuesdays, 7 a.m. Eastern. How do y'all feel about the podcast?
You can't beat him, join him.
Praise God. That shit is amazing, bro. So there was a clip that came out, and they were talking about a whole lot of X's and O's, hits and sends screens for off-ball players like JJ Redick, and how a whole bunch of – they're just talking about a whole bunch of, like, nerdy, geeky, in the – like, really granular shit. And yeah. This is what people like JJ Redick have been talking about over the last, what – was it last month when he was talking about, oh, basketball discourse is in the mud right now, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Went ahead and did it with one of the greatest yappers of all time, and also Ubers, LeBron. Yeah. I love it.
I saw a tweet where someone said, LeBron's so fucking goated that his generic white podcast host is a 15-year NBA veteran. every player podcast has a random white dude next to him to nod and say, yeah, facts. His nod and say facts, dude, is JJ motherfucking Redick. This man's the GOAT.
Oh, my God.
This is how he's going to end the GOAT debate, right? Everybody's going to argue for their lifetimes about accomplishments, accolades, all this type of stuff. And LeBron's just going to be like, yeah, that guy MJ, he's a dummy, right? He could never be as smart as me. And he's going to show every Tuesday why he's the smartest player in NBA history, why his basketball IQ is tip-top, right? He's going to put that photographic memory to use, and he's going to give us great content. And this is probably the best case scenario in terms of getting this kind of discourse and content out to the masses, right? It's different when you have, you know, some random people doing film studies on their own YouTube channel and LeBron James saying, this is the exact play that people run. This is how you should guard it. Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
It always just depends on whose mouth it's coming out of.
Whoa. Yeah, but the most interesting part, the interesting part to me is they say that whenever they announced the show, they were talking about they're going to be up here talking basketball. And they made sure to make it clear that this is going to be a substantive basketball talk. We're not doing that first take bullshit. We're not talking about narratives, trades. I'm not talking about my teammates, all this stuff. But easy to say that now. Presumably they're going to be doing shows in the summer, and I've guessed, and it's going to inevitably devolve into some sort of, you know, narrative conversation. I'm interested to see how that happens once they get a lot of them under their belt and they inevitably have to address some things. What's it going to be like to see LeBron like address like hate and address long-standing narratives we never thought we'd hear him talk about? Is he going to address JJ Barea? Who knows?
That's probably what they're going to do in the summer. Like when there's no basketball, they're just going to go back and like rewatch old games and be like, yeah, like we should have been doing this, da 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 da. And JJ's going to be like, hey, you got locked down by this 5'10 Puerto Rican dude. What is happening? Like what happened?
We wouldn't even see it because JJ Redick, he's a truther. He believes that LeBron James is the greatest player of all time. So if I'm reading the situation, I'll tell you right now that we're going to get some of the greatest propaganda from JJ in this podcast right here.
Oh, for sure.
I'm for it.
No, you thought that Michael Jordan did shameless propaganda when he executive produced The Last Dance, a documentary? Now we have LeBron actually have a mic in front of him. We're going to get pristine propaganda. He went on The Shop and said, that's when I thought I became the greatest of all time. He's been doing that every week now. We're going to get direct access to somebody giving his own propaganda, someone who believes his own hype. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, my goodness, bro. This is beautiful right here. And great. You know what this means also? Eaters, watching this right now, there's 420 of y'all. Only 175 of y'all like the stream. We have more competition these days. How do y'all expect us to go out and come out and compete with a 6'8 legend from Akron, Ohio? He's like, what, 280, 260 on a good day, bro. He's left-handed, hell, right-handed, ambidextrous. And you want us to go ahead and make this good content, but you can't even hit a like button for us?
I got to compete with the NBA's all-time scoring leader for views? Fuck! Shout out to Kevin Glicky, donated another $50. He said, Archie, the ban for ban dub is yours. I'm about to put down a down payment on a house. I gotta chill for a couple weeks. Hey, you chill. It. We appreciate Love you. You're done. Your work here is done.
Motivational.
Next news story we got. You know, we made a whole TikTok and a whole segment of a pod a few weeks ago talking about the Los Angeles Clippers and how we believe in them and how after much hate over the years of making the show, we finally are pro Clippers. We fully believe them being a real contender. We all thought they were the second best team in the West after the Nuggets. They've since been on a bit of a skid. They've been losing a lot of games. And then James Harden looks tired. Paul George has been on a long, slanting drought now for a few months. It's been really bad as of late. And he had a quote today where he said, right now, I don't think we have an identity. How do y'all feel about this in the Clippers right now?
That is crazy. No, that is crazy. You don't feel like you have an identity. I mean, for Paul George, I guess like the slump that he's been on has been unforeseen. When it comes to him, he's usually one of the more consistent players in the regular season. And over the last, let's say, 18 games, he's been putting up only 20 points a game, which is still good, but it's not what he didn't have the same input that he had once earlier in the season and when they really got things kicking into high gear with James Harden. So yeah. In my mind, like with players like James Harden, who's in the later stage of his career, and also Kawhi Leonard, who always loves to take his foot off the gas when necessary, this is just inevitable. But a little bit alarming for sure because you lost to the goddamn Hawks. It's tough.
Yeah, they haven't been good as of late. How are you feeling, Donovan?
I think Russell Westbrook is very important to what this team is. They were going through skids even with I'm just trying to push some Westbrook agendas. I still think that they're going to be fine. I agree, and I think that I think it's easy to say, oh, we don't have an identity, when your really identity is we have these quote unquote hoopers, right? We have these two big wings and they're not really producing. But we saw that whenever the shots were going in, everything was fine. And is it a skid? Yes. We see this from every team, even the elite teams. We've seen Denver, not to this level, but we've seen Denver go through stretches this year where it hasn't looked as crisp. And so you've kind of thought for a second, like, are they okay? Is everything all right? This is obviously a little bit blown a little bit more. Once the playoffs come in, I think Kawhi is going to turn up. He's going to be just fine. Paul George eventually is going to get back to normal. And then they just I guess the big thing is this is preparing them for playoff James Harden. And so it's a nice adjustment period for them to learn how to play once that version of Harden comes around.
Yeah, for sure. It's the interesting part to me is three of those losses, they lost to the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Pelicans. And each of those games, they got abused by interior scorers. They had nothing for Anthony Davis, nothing for Giannis, which nobody does for those guys. Zion went the fuck off in this game I'm showing right now. And the Pelicans have obviously been great as of late. They're actually about to catch them for the four seed, maybe. They're only a game behind. They've been fantastic as of late. And it was very clear in this game that this team has nothing to do with Zion. They have no answers. They were trotting PJ Tucker out there saying, listen, go guard him, try, do something, get off the bench, dust your shoes off, and do your best. His best wasn't good enough, and Zion was feasting. So there's a pattern there with those being three of their five losses as of late. And it's not surprising, right? This isn't a big team. I think we could have assumed that something they'd struggle with is defending interior scorers. Obviously, you have give and take when you have that type of perimeter talent. Something to keep your eye on, given depending on who their matchup is in the first round.
It looks like it's probably going to be the Pelicans. Like, there's no way they're getting up. It looks like there's no way that they're getting up to three. They're four games behind the Timberwolves. They're 2.5 or 3.5 games up on the Kings right now. Four games in, like, you know, to try and make a four games over like a 16 game span is really, really hard. They would have to just fully implode to drop down to six. So I think it's going to be the Pelicans that they're going to play in the first round. So, like, do y'all feel like if the series happened right now, who are you picking to win?
I mean, probably, I don't know about you, Mo, probably the Clippers, but I wouldn't feel great about it. It would be tough.
I'm going to lean series between the Clippers and who else? The Pelicans.
Yeah.
I'm going to lean towards Kawhi Leonard most of the time because it's seen and it's proven. But I don't say that, like, uber confidently.
Exactly. Because
the Pelicans have been coming for a long time. You know what I mean by that?
But yeah.
You got to pause that one. That one's fine.
Great. All right. They've been on the way for a long time. But I'm still going to lean towards someone like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George like almost 10 times out of 10, considering the inexperience on the Pelican side of things.
Yeah.
I think even with home court advantage, I think I would still, like, if the Pelicans got to four, I think I would still take the Clippers, just because as great as Zion has been, at this point in the season, and maybe this is foolish or not, but there's certain things that I have seen from every team where if I think that there is a, like, fundamental flaw in how you are built, or if I've seen things for the last 7 months that I just can't shake, whether if it's correct or just my own false narrative, that's what I'm going to hold on to going into the I'm holding onto that going into the playoffs, and I just can't see the Pelicans beating the Clippers. I think it's very, very hard for them to. They're going to be outcoached, right? I think Ty Lue is a better coach than Willie Green.
Willie Green's great too, though.
Willie Green's been cooking, bro, this season.
I think Ty Lue is.
Not crazy to say.
Is Ty Lue not a better coach though than
Willie? Sure, but it's not a huge gap.
I would lean Ty Lue, and I would give them. I would give them the nod over Willie, and then outside of, like, wherever you think about Zion, if you have Zion as, like, the best player in the series, I would give the Clippers 2 and 3, or, you know, one. They would have two of the top three players in the series. So that's why I would take them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That matchup, we'll see. But another next two we have in this doc, Zion Williamson has lost 25 pounds since the in-season tournament per Brian Windhorst. And it shows. He's been cooking as of late and looks fully back to being super athletic, skinny, destroying the rim Zion. It's hard to bet against them when they're looking like this. again, they still have the issues of the things you said, that they have some fundamental flaws, right? They're not going to be able to play Jonas Valanciunas late in games. It's kind of tough. You can't play your five best players all at once in a playoff setting. Mm-hmm. So the Clippers matchup is scary because that's, like you said, probably who they're going to have to face. But you got to feel better about the Pelicans now than you did a month ago. They've been really good.
For sure. For sure. But not good enough to beat the Clippers.
One's trending up, one's trending down. I don't know. We'll see if they can lock in. But it's
much closer than you would think. Look at that on the left. The dude on the left looked like he just got done throwing down some yams. The dude on the right looked like he can lift up two whole car engines on each hand. He looks insane. Popeye. He plays basketball? Yeah, Popeye, he's Thor, he's fucking Larry the Lobster. He looks insane. The Pelicans so far this season have had – this is the best they've been in like 15 years. I think the last time they were, what are they, like 15, 16 games above 500 was like – 2011, you were 11 years old, Donovan. You had like a box top or whatever back when the Pelicans were that level of eliteness, bro.
Box top is ridiculous to say. Call it what it actually is. You know what it is. I did have a high top and I was rocking it.
Chat,
you're rocking the fuck
out of that bitch. Chat, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do y'all believe in the Pelicans right now? Let me spam now it up. I want to see what number y'all are at.
Before you type in, chat. Remind you, the Pelicans so far this season have a record of 11-6 versus the top six teams in the Western Conference.
Oh,
it's a very impressive.
Yeah, they've been real good. Again, it's really hard to win. They have a starting lineup that has a negative net rating. They're really beating teams with their bench and having lineups with Trey Murphy and Larry Nance in the game. Really hard to win playoff series when you can't play your best players all at once. But clearly they're finding, you know, they have a formula that works with a really smart staggering of lineups. I think Willie Green, like low-key, should be on the Coach of the Year ballot for that reason. It's hard, right? How do you feel about it with a team that's been good but has a lot of flaws and make you have like a thing in the back of your mind for a playoff setting? It's really hard to gauge right now.
Yeah. One of the biggest flaws is the whole Brandon Ingram at times and CJ McCollum thing. Like the one of the main reasons they won that Clippers game is that, or in the last few games prior to that, is that they literally just benched CJ McCollum, and it's sad to say because like he's just that liable of a defender, and also, you know what I'm saying, he best drives the ball in his hand, and if you don't have that, you know what I'm saying, alongside Zion, or if you have that alongside Zion Williamson, kind of make his eye on. You put him in the dunker spot, and you give him like the Aaron Gordon treatment, which is ridiculous. So. Yeah, like, I feel good about the New Orleans Pelicans, and I also do feel good because guys like Dyson Daniels and Larry Nance Jr. and shit like that are becoming healthier and around the right time, so I feel pretty good about them, really.
Someone said Don had to go take his medication real quick.
I saw that. I forgot to turn the AC down in here before we started.
No, it's kind of hot in here, too. I need to turn mine up, too. What was I going to say? Next story we got to talk about. Listen, we didn't stream last week, so we missed talking about the most viral thing of the year. Y'all, we're done with the fucking 90s. I don't know if y'all found out, but I've been informed. The kids on TikTok let me know. We're done with the 90s, and apparently so is the rest of the internet. How did y'all feel about this, you know, general trend in chat while they're answering? Let me know in the comments. Are you done with the 90s?
Okay, Donovan, what is your whole, like, scope of this conversation? Because the 90s is your bag.
Is it? I like, okay. Two things. One, the trend is hilarious. And I thoroughly enjoyed all the videos. Two, on like a deeper level and like a serious NBA basketball conversation, I hate it just because I already feel like basketball discourse is fractured as it is. And so seeing like, basketball and the NBA is one of the only spaces where you cannot appreciate like the past and appreciate the present and have people hating every single era at the same time. And so having this trend go on, it made me a little bit upset because I'm like, we're never going to get to the point where we're just like, this is basketball history. We all like it. And then boom. But the videos, listen, keep them coming because I like to laugh. I like to say, oh yeah, MJ he didn't have a left. He couldn't shoot free throws. Like, it's fine. But jokes. But I don't like it as a whole.
Who gives a fuck? The kids are hilarious. That's all that matters. They're funny as hell. We've gone through 15 years of old heads talking down on LeBron and our generation because they're gripping to the nostalgia of the 90s, wanting their era to be the best so bad because we're, you know, a new generation comes and tells them somebody's better. And they're like, no, back then they were rough and rowdy. They were tough. And there's been so much hilarious vitriol to the new generation that eventually the youth is like, you know what? Let's give them his neural medicine. And it's hilarious. It's not that serious. It doesn't really matter. I think if you're the youth, you should be as funny as possible all the time to hating 40-year-olds. So I'm pro in every single way.
Wow, you hate your own kind. That's so tough to me, man. Never seen something like that before. But I can agree to a certain extent. Until like this shit starts happening to me when I'm like 40, 50 years old, and you motherfuckers are posting like 2021, 2022 highlights of Lakers Russell Westbrook. Fuck that. That's where I draw the line and try to make it seem like that's who he is as a player. You can like literally nitpick bad shots and just the most clumsy shit from any player in NBA history, especially today when like no highlights ever get lost in the test of time over here with how we are on Twitter and shit like that. Never happened. Yeah.
One day they'll be done in the 2010s. It's going to happen.
There's going to be a time where, and listen, and when that day comes, I'm going to say the exact same thing that the people from the 90s are saying, that the people from the 2000s were saying. It's like, bro, listen, you weren't there. Like you didn't see it with your own eyes. Like go back and watch these games. You don't understand what was actually happening. And I will be ready for that because you guys will not tell me that some people are going to try and go back and discredit, like Mo said, all these players and tell me that some eighth grader right now or some sixth grader is the greatest player of all time.
And we know that's that sounds going to be, you're going to be easy to troll.
That's going to be lies.
You're going to be easy to troll, and it's going to be great. It's going to be hilarious, and they're going to get your ass because you're going to be fucking put into a knot over people telling you that Steph Curry was a plumber.
I might be off the internet by then.
Oh, no, buddy. You're being on the internet. I got bills to pay. Keep on hating.
Yeah, man. It's just hilarious. Anyways, we move on to the next thing. The best news story of the week. Did you guys see the infamous jersey swap of Grady Dick and Anthony Black?
Oh,
you guys saw this?
That was crazy to see.
Thoughts?
Yep. What do you mean thoughts? Thoughts? They're funny. Like,
whose idea do you think this was? It must be Grady Dick's, right?
No, look at Anthony Black's smirk. That's fucking for sure his idea. Look at his fucking smirk on his face.
Nah, he looked like he was talked into it, and immediately as soon as he held that bitch up, he regretted it. He was like, this is a bad idea, man. He's going to get some nasty text from his parents, bro.
Actually, Grady Dick is a podcast. He's in like this content game. He has content brain. Yeah. I bet this was his idea, actually. He knew the interactions it would draw.
He's devious as hell. And I know.
Podcast? Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. With, I think, like Paolo Bancaro or some shit like that with Bleacher Report.
Nope, it's not with Paolo Bancaro.
I think he was a guest on it or something like that.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
It's with another rookie, though, for sure.
Random, like, group of people. Grady Dick and Paolo Bancaro. On Discourse. Yeah. I don't want to hear thoughts? From them.
I have a long list of NBA players that need to go ahead and do this with Grady Dick. I tweeted out yesterday, Kobe White. Next, hey, Nazir Little,
Obi Toppin, we're looking at you.
Yeah, Obi Toppin, you're next. There's so many players.
Yeah, so hilarious. Next thing to know,
well, OG real Obi quick, came back. Also, it was hilarious that as soon as this was posted, the following day, the Orlando Magic put up a hiring position for a social media coordinator, and it appears that they also immediately deleted this social media coordinator, posted that photo, and it was immediately deleted, and they put up a new job posting. Whoever did that did it for the culture. They died for the culture.
Next news story. OG Anunoby came back, proceeded to make the Knicks really good again. They are 15-2 with OG Anunoby in the lineup. Donovan, on the pod last week, you said that OG Anunoby has passed up Mo as your favorite African in your life. Knicks fans are over the moon. Soon before we started recording this episode, OG Anunoby's elbow flared up again, per Woj. Yeah. OG Anunoby is going to be out more than just tonight. That right elbow has flared up again. They need to calm it down. How long he's out is unclear, but it's certainly a concern. Thoughts?
I'm back. should never try to replace me. That's what you get. The dad come back, something happens to OG. Now you need me now, huh, Donovan?
Listen, I didn't try to replace you. It just happened, okay? Nah, man, the dream's dead. It's over.
The dream's dead?
The dream's dead. If OG is not able to be healthy, and Wode said in the clip on that you're referencing, the Knicks still don't even know what's going on with Julius Randle. And so the dream only works if all three of them are there. OG was out. Even him coming back from this injury, was the windup was kind of weird. They said he was going to sit out a couple days. Then it ended up, all right, we're going to take some time off. He had to go get a little procedure done. Then they said he'll be back in a couple games, sat out a couple more weeks. Everything is just weird with this elbow. I have no idea what he's going through. It's been very clear over the last couple games that, like, he's been fighting something after his return. So that sucks. And then, again, with Randle and his status, I have no idea if we're ever going to see the lineup of Brunson, Dante, OG, Randle, Mitch. And Mitch over the weekend, he went on Instagram and he was saying, look, I'll come off the bench, right? I don't want to mess anything up.
Wow.
And so, like, that's cool. And that sucks. We're just never going to see this camaraderie because it looks like the vibes are all there between everybody. But it's over. The dream is dead. It's done.
You're yapping about buying finals tickets and shit like that over here on the stream like a couple months ago. And now the dream is dead.
Oh, man. RIP, man. RIP.
I know Tibbs, you will soon. The documentary about Tibbs and how he's running players to the ground will be very interesting, man. That's all I got to say.
Tough. All right, we move on to the next story. What do we have next? Jordan Poole cooking off the bench. What is this? Jordan Poole admits that he wasn't able to play his game as a point guard until Washington moved him to the bench. I wasn't able to do what I was accustomed to do in terms of how I built my game.
Who cares?
So since Jordan Poole's came off the bench, he's been averaging a cool like 20 points and 4 assists on like 46% shooting from the field or whatever over the last, I think it's been like 12, 13 games or something like that. And he looks like a different player for sure, you know? And hey, that's real quick, like great news.
Never mind. Fuck Jordan Poole. I just remember I put something in his doc last second. Earlier today, DeAndre Ayton was talking about his early season struggles. He said, My body wasn't just my body. People forget the humane difference of me adjusting to everything. That includes something as routine as getting proper sleep, just being comfortable and waking up. I didn't have a bed for quite some time. I was on an air mattress just trying to figure this out.
I'm sorry.
Why the fuck is this multimillionaire on an air mattress under any circumstance? What is he talking about?
You're 25 years old. You're a grown man. What do you mean? You're sleeping on an air mattress. You should have people in your life that make sure that you are comfortable like that. And the fact that an air mattress? What are we talking about?
Right?
Not even about basketball, right? I'm talking about off the court. How are you living with an air mattress at the crib, right? How are you getting down? Because I don't understand that. This is ridiculous. Air mattress?
This year, he's making $32 million a year. Where did that money go to? Are you just like getting your money spoiled by your mom or a bad accountant or some shit like that? What's going on?
An air mattress. What a hilarious excuse. I understand the general point, right? It is hard to adjust moving across the country for anybody. NBA players are no different, and we often overlook stuff like that. But an air mattress? You sound unserious. You sound like you're making this harder than it needs to be. This sounds like it went from an understandable problem to a you problem. That's hilarious.
Was he on an air mattress in the freeze when he couldn't come out and play? Because that would have been a down bad situation. You're just in the crib, no comfy bed. You're sleeping on the couch. You can't drive anywhere. You're slipping and sliding everywhere. Come on, man. This is why we don't take you serious, DeAndre Ayton. This is why.
Unbelievable.
He's been cooking as of late, bro. He's been a lot. He's been a completely different player over the last, 12, 15 games or so.
A mattress pad. That's what
it is. A mattress pad.
He hit up Costco and got a fucking suitable bed, and now he's a god.
Yeah, no, quite literally, bro. Over the last 18, he's putting up 20 and 12 on like 63% from the field. He's back, I guess. Goddamn. Take him what you will.
I never sold my stock. I've been broke for a long time holding on to it, but I've held on to it.
He's tricking y'all.
Maybe. All right, man. Raxo donated $3. He said, what happened to Garland all of a sudden? He forgot how to play. His team will be dismantled at the end of the season. Sir, Darius Garland has been cooking recently with Donovan Mitchell out. You should go check his stats. But appreciate you for the $3. Yeah. Lanchus donated $1. Y'all are here taking the Clippers over the Pels as if the Pels aren't 10-2 against them over the last three seasons. Ooh.
Okay, relax. It doesn't matter. No one cares.
Not me.
A shout out to Carter Round for donating $5. He said, are y'all going to Hoop Fest? We are not. I'm not sure what that is.
What the hell is Hoop Fest?
Some thing in Spokane, he said. And shout out to Elena, who just donated $3. Said, gonna watch y'all while I break my fast. Shout out, Elena.
Elena, I was down in a Hot Pocket and also some yogurt and a banana muffin. Power to you.
Banana muffin.
Yeah.
Okay, how do y'all feel about the MVP race right now? Per NBA Award Tracker.com's MVP rankings, they currently have Shea as one, which for some reason was tweeted out as news. I don't know. I just look at what's in the doc, whatever. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about has Jokic wrapped it up? You know, they're still fighting for the one seed. Do you guys still see it as a race, or is it just Jokic obviously to you right now?
I would give it to Jokic, but I see, and I think like a couple months ago, this is what I was thinking about when we get to like late season discourse, where if the Thunder end up with the number one seed, there's going to be a push for Shea to get the MVP award. And it's obviously here. I would give it to Jokic just because I think that he has been better. But I can understand the case for Shea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I'm on the same wavelength. I personally would rather give it to Jokic because I think he's the most valuable player in the NBA. He's true to the definition. But, you know what I'm saying? Hey, who am I to ever vote against Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? Do you not know who I am, Eaters? Like, I have been given this for, like, a Christmas present for a reason, bro. You don't know what it is. It's a pair of undies that Isaac gave me, all right? Am I proud of it? No. But I only bring it out whenever I have a real case for Shea.
Speaking of present,
winning MVP won't be mad.
Speaking of present, I forgot. My birthday was 2 days ago, and Mo, you sent me a couple packages that I have to open on stream.
Yes, you are Isaac. Everyone, guys, it was his birthday a couple of days ago. Facts. Your favorite Unk just got a new level, reached a new level on the planet of Earth, and we gave him some presents. There's two. Third one's coming in a few days. Private his stuff to enjoy. But these two, he needs to bring up to the camera and show everyone what he got.
Okay, y'all.
Cake and candles, Unk. Cake and candles.
I got two gifts here. Come on, Unk,
show us what you got.
I got... Let me show, I'll show anything. I got two gifts here from Amazon. Got one by one. We'll do the small one first. We'll see what's in this. Give you some ASMR.
All right, Unk. I say ASMR, your content mind, of course.
I'm taking the headphones off of that.
What? We care about you, this? Unk.
What is this?
Open that big boy up,
what
Unk.
That? What is this?
You know you need it. You're getting real uncomfortable these days, spending in long hours editing, watching content, analyzing content. And I know you got to be real nice and comfy.
Hey!
Big old granny panties. Woo-hoo!
Yo, freaky ass. What is this? These gigantic.
I'm not gonna lie. I knew about this gift. Seen it like opened. Well, you're a freak for this one. You're a nasty guy for this one.
You're a sicko.
You need it, bro.
This is some weird. There's some weird motivations behind this.
I care for you, bro. That's all it is. I want you comfy at all times. New age on this earth.
What size are these? What's going on here?
I don't even know, bro.
There's like lace on the sides. Who are these for? What's the demographic?
Lace.
Well, I didn't pay attention to that type of detail. That's not me. All right?
What size are these? There's no price tag. It's just huge.
Try putting it on in front of the camera. Show how huge it is.
All right. Oh, I got one more. Hopefully this is a little more tame. Hopefully this is a little more respectable in public. Let's see what this is. Feels like Christmas.
This is what?
This is Donovan's doing right here.
Yo, I got a Shart survival kit.
This was not my doing.
There we go.
A sharp survival kit. I did not buy
any of these gifts.
Amazing. Amazing.
Read this, chat. For when it hits the fan, did you fart and a little bit came out? We've got you covered, even though your sphincter didn't. Oopsie poopsie disposable undies. Brown town tissue pack. Clean booty wipes. Instructional care card. Sharp survival badge. We're number one and number two.
I'm in.
Perfect gift for my elderly friend. All right. Well, I care about you. Oh, wow. You opened it up. Okay. Okay. Let's do it, man. It'll actually come into use one day as well. I know sometimes it's hard to go ahead and reach the bathroom. You're in LA, traffic once in a while, and you just need to go, you know?
So we have, first off, some tissue packs. I just cooked up a sloppy cobbler for so it says.
Wow.
Brown Town tissue pack.
Brown Town.
Oopsie poopsie disposable undies.
Amazing, bro.
I'm not sure that get us fucking clapped.
Yeah.
Disposable undies.
Beautiful.
How-to card. How to clean with sharp wipes. Nice. Got a nice demo here. It says, you sharded yourself. Now what? And it's a bunch of questionnaires. Donovan looks disgusted. Someone said the crayons. You're messing with the digestive system.
The fiber.
And we got sharp wipes, which I got to cover up because there's a cartoon butt on it, which will probably get us clapped.
That's crazy.
And last but not least, I survived a shard attack.
Classic. Classic. That way, Isaac, you can go ahead and find out about your fellow sharders and build your own community of people who be sharding a lot. Congratulations.
I'm gonna go to AA for sharding. Sharders Anonymous.
Perfect.
I survived a shard attack, yo.
Everybody go in and spam happy belated Isaac. Happy belated Unc. We love to see you.
All right, let's get back to some basketball talk. So that Donovan is not impressed.
He's disgusted right now. You lucky we have a stream on your birthday, Donovan, or near your birthday.
Yo, did y'all see Bam Adebayo's game winning three?
I did.
That was so weird.
Bam Adebayo game winning three is not a sentence I ever thought I'd hear, but he smacked his bitch to win against the Detroit Pistons. How did y'all feel?
Pistons fans, they know no good in this world. They have no joy. They just don't understand how to win. And Bam, shout out to Bam though, because this is actually like a crazy, like not shot to take, but it's a nice evolution.
Facts.
Of him being able to feel comfortable trailing to take this three right here. That's good. That in that sense, that's where I like the shot.
Facts.
That's far.
It is. And listen, he had to throw it up. I don't know if he would have did this if it was up to him, but you know, people say a lot that they believe that Bam could be a good shooter if you ever start taking them for real. You see stuff like this and you're like, I know you can hit those. I want you to take them. It's never really become a huge part of his game, but I'm just waiting for the day where one day does. Like we all see it coming eventually.
Yeah, exactly. I 110% agree. Seeing Bam take this and immediately, as soon as it goes in, Evan Fournier just has no reaction other than punting that bitch because it's like, bro, how much worse can his life get? He just lost to a deep Bam.
I didn't even see that. He kicked the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, no, that will not happen in any universe, bro. And it happened to you on that specific day, Evan Fournier specifically. And he got fined $25,000 today for it. So it's tough.
That's tough.
But I'd love to see it from Bam.
Shout out Bam Adebayo. Yeah, that's all the news stories I have written down. We should go to the main topic of this episode. We are going to rank the NBA players or teams or coaches or anybody involving the NBA with the most pressure on them come playoff time. I told both of you guys to bring five. So, you know, we're ranking a quick five each. Hopefully we talk about 15 people. Probably going to be some overlap, but real simple, right? Who's under the most pressure? Who has the most to prove? Who has the most allegations above their head? All that.
No, let's do it.
Donovan, as a resident hater in chief, who is your number five on your list?
Number five goes to Jimmy Butler.
That is my number five as well. Okay.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Yeah. Jimmy has been playing this playoff Jimmy card for a while. A couple weeks ago, right? He had a good game, was starting to yell out, it's that time, acknowledging the idea that once the playoffs come, he's going to turn up. Everybody is okay with that idea, with Jimmy Butler taking the regular season off, because when the playoffs come, he starts averaging 35, right? 7-6 or something crazy. And we're like, if you're going to do that, do whatever you want for the first 8 months. It is time for you to turn up and average 35, 7-6. And if you do not do that, then we have to look at you and say, okay, the last 2 years, you're able to do it. Can you do it moving forward? And if you're not going to do it, you need to try during the regular season. You can't be the one taking games off like that. So he is under a lot of pressure, in my opinion.
I agree. Even if you don't, I agree with you 100% that pressure. The shtick is getting old. Even if you don't think so, there's just a tremendous amount of pressure about your team just like forcing you to be Batman every year and just turn into a Super Saiyan in the first round and will them to victory. Because otherwise, if they were to get regular season Jimmy Butler, they'd be a first-round exit with ease. So it's easy. Like he becomes Michael Jordan or they flop, right? That's an immense amount of pressure.
Yeah, and while it is an immense amount of pressure, if he does flop, no one cares at the end of the day. Or at least not many people will seriously care, because we all know what the real ceiling of this team should be theoretically. But because of Jimmy Butler and the witchcraft that they've been producing over the last few years, we know like that things are just skewed. So I can agree with it, but this only applies to Jimmy Butler specifically. And for all the eaters out there, don't misconstrue it. It's not applied towards like the Miami Heat, just Jimmy Butler specifically.
Yeah. Chad, how much do you guys believe in Jimmy Butler right now? Actually, a bit better question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much pressure is on Jimmy Butler? Spam it up right now. We're going to do this to every person we talk about. How under pressure is Jimmy Butler right now? And so obviously we think he's under pressure because like he has to do a lot. If Mo, you said that if he doesn't do it, nobody will really care. Is that true? Will you guys not care if the Miami Heat go out in the first round?
No, I would care. I would care a lot, because the only way that I wouldn't be like crazy, crazy shocked is if they played the Boston Celtics in the first round. Mm-hmm. But if they lose to anybody else in the first round, it would be a disaster, because the Eastern Conference, at least to get to the conference finals or to get into a position where you play the Celtics, it's wide open. It's Boston and it's everybody else, and it's as wide open. And so you need to take advantage of these opportunities, especially with Embiid probably not going to be there, especially with the Knicks being down, especially with the Cavs going in and out of injuries. Like, you have to take advantage. And if you don't, it's a complete failure.
Complete failure. Nice. Okay. How about you, Filmo?
Complete failure, man. I can agree to that, but also at the same time, like I said, this is genuinely a better team compared to last year because of the strides and improvements that David Robinson would be crazy. This team would be the fucking finals leaders, bro, or they would for sure win the finals if he was in that bitch. But
if you replaced Bam Adebayo with David Robinson, would they beat the Celtics?
It depends on what version of Jimmy Butler you're getting. But, like, assuming if you get playoff Jimmy and David Robinson, they win a title.
I don't know.
Do they? I don't know if they beat the Nuggets.
I don't know if they beat the Nuggets, but I think they get to the NBA Finals for sure, at very least.
That'd be a sick duo.
That would be disgusting. Michael
Jordan and David Robinson. So, like, like, yeah, of course, Hall of Famers. Oh, bro,
that's hilarious.
No, that'd be crazy.
I agree, though. This Heat team is such a weird team throughout the course of NBA history. Like, when have we ever seen a team consistently be in the contender talk while consistently being a 7-8 seed? Like, it's so strange how they work and how they've like shifted the NBA narratives, right? Like, people could normally, in most years, I bet in the future, we're going to talk about play-in teams as being, like, irrelevant. But we've seen this team, and obviously Lakers last year too, make conference finals runs and make the finals coming out of the play-in. And right now, people still think about it like, oh, you know, any year you get in, you can make that run. They might just be a ridiculous anomaly that continues to do that and find a way to get in the conversation off of sheer willpower. Like, we're probably going to look back at them in a decade and being like, this team was absurd and just does not make sense.
Yeah, we could. The last team to go ahead and make the NBA Finals as an 8th seed was the New York Knicks in, like, 99, you know? they literally are brain breaking and they just defy all NBA physics. You know, it literally doesn't make any sense, especially last year, because it's really like as time goes on, their team looks so much worse on paper than it does like right now because of internal improvements and Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero is back and they have Jaime Jaquez, who's just a very good, useful offensive player, even though he's a rookie right now still. So, nah, like, this team is a major anomaly because of the variance and how people view them on a night, or not even a night-to-night basis, on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah. All right, chat, I started a poll. Will the Miami Heat make a run? I want to know what y'all think. What's your guys' opinion? Like, do you guys think they have it in them again? Can they, like, I don't know, catch lightning in a bottle again? Like, that's so difficult to do what they did last year. Do you see... Listen, we're all high on them post-Terry Rozier trade, right? We all thought it made them better. 100%. And in theory, you know, they have the ability to. But do you think they'll do it again, given who they might face in rounds one or two?
Well, I said on the show last week that, and you know, we were going over hot takes for every contender. My hot take for the Miami Heat was that they would go out in the first round. I don't think that...
Wow.
I don't think that they have a run in them. I don't think that Jimmy Butler is going to be able to turn up and go crazy and do all that stuff. And if they played like the Bucks or even the Cavs for that matter, they might get first rounded if he doesn't become if he doesn't, like you just said, if this version of Jimmy Butler, even 15% more than what he is right now, I do not think they get out the first round.
Yeah. I have a hard time picking the Cavs over them, which is strictly like what I've seen in the past bias, where it's like, we know what Jimmy's going to do, and all we have with this Cavs core is last year's playoffs, and the Knicks just punch him in the fucking throat. How do I not pick the Miami Heat in that situation? Yeah. And I feel like we're good for at least one playoff series of Jimmy being God, right? Like, he's going to get one in there before he burns out. Like, last year, he averaged 38 against the Bucks in the first round, and then immediately came back to being a little more normal. He's got at least one series of superhero playing him, I think.
30 is crazy.
I know, it's ridiculous. What was he on?
He makes no sense. But we can go ahead and transition because you mentioned the Cavs just now, Isaac. They are on my list when it comes to teams that have the most pressure on them.
Okay. They're not on my list. That's interesting.
Yeah, they're on my list because, of course, last year they got embarrassed in the first round. They got first round exited by the New York Knicks. Knicks, of course, a great team, but a lot of people just did not have them upsetting the Cleveland Cavaliers in such fashion. Like, it's okay being first rounded if it's a 7-game series or whatever, but in the playoffs, it's, I think people really underestimate just how you go out. They went out extremely sad. Evan Mobley went out looking like a completely different player, looked like Mitchell Robinson's B-word. He just, like, it just...
B-word.
Like, everything just did not make sense, and all the expectations fell on their shoulders. So, if I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, you sit here, you analyze Donovan Mitchell's future. Everything is not necessarily cemented, but you have to imagine, if you have a very bad first-round exit again, or even if you fail in the second round, no one should really care about, but if you fail in the first round... Some changes might need to be made because at this point you're just wasting your time.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't put them on my list, but I understand it, obviously. Like, they're clearly going to be at risk of their team falling apart, especially with Donovan Mitchell as a looming free agent, right? They're going to check in on what his thoughts are after the season. And if he's not ready to commit long term, you got to make hard decisions. And how they show up in the playoffs this year is going to be a big factor in deciding which way they go with that. I was pretty high on them last year before they fell apart. Were you, Donovan? I don't remember.
I think I was high, obviously, like, not going into the playoffs because they were playing the Knicks. But actually, I think I picked the Knicks to win. I can't remember how I was feeling about that series. But I know that before the season, I was kind of high on Cleveland. And even coming into this year, I felt like they could do some stuff, which they have. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Also, listen, we're not even at 400 likes yet, which is crazy. Like, as many times as we are telling you guys to like up this stream, y'all gotta support. Y'all gotta like
this stream. Please throw us a smidgen of likes. We'll beg on our knees. Yeah, man, appreciate you. And then shout out to Tanny G to donating $10. Appreciate you.
Mod. Shout out to you.
Yes. Shout out to our Discord mod. But yeah, I don't know. I was really high on the Cavs last year, and I fully thought that they could make a run. I was like, this team has the capabilities, the ceiling defensively and offensively, to make a conference finals run if the cards fall right. And obviously that was the opposite of what happened. The cards fell terribly. I feel so cautious about them this year, where they're better, right? They have more shooting now. Another year of development from all their guys. Jared Allen's playing fantastic. D. Mitch is playing just as good as he did last year when he made All-NBA. There's no reason to feel worse about them other than maybe less continuity because Garland and Evan Mobley miss a lot of time. But it's like with a loss like last year, it's hard to go into the next year without feeling like you got to see it, you know?
Yeah, you can't give the world a graphic that of you saying the lights are too bright and then think that we're going to go back into the next year and like fully trust you. So I do get that when it comes to the Cavs.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me is over the three games or so that Donovan Mitchell dismissed, Darius Garland was cooking. He was incredible. He had like 28 points and was going crazy the game before D-Mitch came back. I see ever going to be able to do that while D-Mitch is there. Like, they have to find a way to click at the same time. And we just haven't seen it. It's kind of like with Zion and Brandon Ingram. Zion's been cooking lately, and Ingram's stats are a little bit down. If you can't have both of your lead guys be at their best together, it's hard to scale up in a playoff series and really make a run.
This summer, we need to see a trade happen. Darius Garland, you need to be in New Orleans Pelicans, and Brandon Ingram. I hope you enjoy the weather in Cleveland.
That would be cool. A nice little swap.
For sure. I don't know how I would love it with Cleveland, considering like there's a little bit, it always feels like Brandon Ingram's always overlapping someone else's skill set who I feel like might be better off like being the main or handing taking control of certain things. But in general, I love that idea.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. So Cleveland is your number five team, Mo? Yeah. And your number five was Jimmy Butler, Donovan, who's also my number five. My number four. Let me pull my thing up. Who did I have exactly at four? My number four is Jason Kidd. I think if the Cavaliers, I mean the Cavaliers, if the Dallas Mavericks stay in the play-in and lose and don't make the playoffs at all, he's as good as fired. He's fucking out of there. And I think if they make to the first round and then they lose in the first round and anything less than a hard-fought seven-game series, he's fired as fuck. I think he has such a short leash that this team has to make a run or his job is almost a guaranteed, you know, out of there. He has a lot of job security because he's really close with Mark Cuban and Nico Mannion, the GM there. They kind of came as a package deal. You know, Jason Kidd was played in Dallas. It's a long-standing relationship there. It gets him a lot of good grace with the front office and ownership there. So I don't think he's ever been under the microscope that Mavs fans want him under, given his lack of success as a coach, I think, there. He hasn't done a whole lot to elevate the team, if we're just being generous and being kind about the way we classify that. And, you know, if they fail again, they're not going to get rid of Kyrie. They're not going to get rid of Luka. They can continue to shuffle their mid around them. But, again, a new coach will be the next logical conclusion for how to improve your team and give yourself a chance to compete.
Only because of how good Luka and, you know what I'm saying, Kyrie especially has been as of late. I feel like when I watch the Dallas Mavericks team, I feel like sometimes I'm watching them like, what have you done to elevate this team? You could pick up a random fan from the stand sometimes, and I'm like, maybe he'll do just as good of a job. But that's only what I see personally, you know.
So I said Nico Mannion. I meant Nico Harrison.
Yeah, Nico Mannion. I knew what you meant. Yeah, shout out to Nico
Mannion. I know it's not Nico Mannion.
I let you cook. Let you cook.
That's hilarious. But yeah, Nico Harrison. What were you saying?
I mean, I was saying that I 110% agree. I think if they don't make it to the second round, it's a shame, simply because I think a lot of people understand that this Dallas Mavericks team in the playoffs should have, regardless of what their record says, higher expectations, and they need to at least make it to the second round. There's no excuse why they shouldn't, because Luka's on your team and also Kyrie, and you have made these adjustments that haven't changed the absolute world for them, but they've been better, you know? Yeah. So those expectations are there. I agree.
Chat, how do y'all feel about the Mavs right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe in the Mavs? Because they're so up and down. And, you know, when they're down or when they're up, people are like, oh, a sleeper team, they can make the conference finals. Watch out for Luka and Kyrie. Then they lose four of the next five, and everyone's like, maybe Luka Doncic's style of play is not conducive to winning, and maybe he'll lose interest and will never work. And people think piece the fuck out of it, like he's not Luka Doncic. And then now they're winning again, and it's just real quiet. You know, like, the general consensus is so up and down. How do y'all feel about him right now? Like, do you have faith they can win a first-round series?
I do. I have faith. And once again, I'm going to tell y'all I talked about the Mavs on last episodes, and my hot take for them, that I low-key am starting to believe. I think that they, or let me check the standings to make sure it's still possible. But yeah, so it is. I think that they end up getting the sixth seed over the Kings, and I think that they end up playing the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round. And if that happens, they will beat the Timberwolves in the first round.
Yeah, but no cat. I can see that.
Yeah, I think that, like, the streak that Luka has been on has been insane. And he's been able to dominate, I mean, seven straight triple doubles, right? He's doing all this. If we're getting Ramadan Kyrie, where he's out here winning games with left-hand three-pointer hook shots, those two in one series can provide enough firepower to where everybody else is going to fall in line. And then ultimately, it is also just about the Timberwolves not having enough firepower to match with them. Because like you said, Isaac, when this team is up, they're up. And when Luka and Kyrie are going off and they're scoring, there's a very, very short list of teams in the entire league that can keep up with them. And I think that right now they're playing well. But you're right. That's why the pressure is on Jason Kidd, because we see it. We know the potential. We gave the Mavericks yep. credit at the deadline for winning the deadline just by bringing in Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. Yeah. Bringing in some athletes, bringing in some people to round out that roster. There's no reason why they shouldn't make it out the first round.
Yeah, and again, whenever they're down, people jump to conclusions and they find someone to blame. And lately it's been Luka, because he gets all the praise in the world and hasn't won to show for it. And that's how it goes when you're an all-time great player and haven't won yet. You know, we saw it with LeBron. We saw it with KD. We saw it with Harden. We see it with everybody who's in the upper pantheon and doesn't have a ring. You're going to get hated on until you prove yourself to the masses. It's fine. It comes to the territory. But the person we really got to put our focus on is Jason Kidd. He has to do something to optimize his roster. I follow a lot of Mavs fans who have been frustrated by his use of the big men since all the trades at deadline. You know, I'll give him some credit. He needs time to figure out the best way to use all these guys. But it's been up and down. There was a phase where he was using Maxi Kleber so much when Daniel Gafford was clearly being so effective and not getting as many minutes. Now they're starting Gafford and Derek Lively's running with the bench. And people were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't bring Lively down from Gafford. Lively's the best one. And like, he has a lot to figure out in that regard. We'll see if he can do it. But he's going to have to really step up to the plate and like outmaneuver some elite coaches in a playoff setting. Not sure his bag is that deep.
His only outmaneuver that he has is like, hey, yo, Luka. Do some crazy shit, please, for the life of me. Ooh, hey, yo, Kyrie, do some crazy shit for the life of me. Yeah, and that can only go so far as the head coach, and these front offices will snuff it out, and man, that free check coming in every month or whatever might disappear.
Someone said Jason Mid. Mid is generous. He's a bottom five coach in the league.
I don't know why he just keeps on getting these jobs. Like, Jason when they Steve? Hired him, I was just like, wow.
Because he's a Hall of Fame point guard. He has fucking clout and the ability to mess up and get another chance because he's Jason Kidd.
People love that. Yeah. The only thing that came out of his career is putting Giannis at point guard. Jeez.
He's not even a point guard, but I don't know why it's such a big thing to give him credit for. He's not a point guard. It didn't stick. Who's your next player, Donovan?
Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, a bit under fraud watch. Tell me about it.
We were quick. Us three, and I think all of us still believe in Tyrese Halliburton, right?
For sure.
As being an elite player in this league for years to come. But a lot of people, including myself, were quick to anoint Tyrese as one of, you know, the best point guards in the league, hands down. After the in-season tournament run, I mean, he was averaging 25-12. He was awesome.
27-12 for a while.
Granted, he got hurt, and that has affected a lot. However, since he came back from injury, the last 21 games, this man is 16 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds on 45% from the field, which is decent. It's whatever.
It's good.
But 29% from three.
That's a big one.
There's a bit of a fraud watch for Tyrese. And I'm nervous just because if the Pacers get into the playoffs – and he has a bad first round, it's going to be a nasty offseason for Tyrese Halliburton. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to look at what he did at the beginning of the season, think it's a fluke, think he, you know, just turned up for the All-Star game because it was in his hometown, and then proceeded to not play well for the rest of the year. Again, granted, he got hurt, but I do feel like there's a nasty offseason waiting if he doesn't show out in the playoffs.
I get that. Yeah, Tyrese has been worse. A lot of the slander that's come is just, well, from what I understand it, he was, like you said, everybody rushed to crown him as a top five point guard because he was playing at that level. And everyone was like preying on his downfall, but they couldn't say anything because he was playing so well. Then as soon as he fell off, everyone's like, I told you that motherfucker was whack. His jump shot's ugly. Yeah. He should have never did it. So much of this is bad faith, right? His jump shot is falling off the grid. People were like, see, his superstar trial is up. Do y'all really believe he's going to shoot 29% from three on a regular basis? Like, be fucking for real. A 40% three-point shooter for his career, and that's the biggest change? You think this is going to last? You think this is who he is? Obviously, it's a cold streak that maybe he isn't going to be the top four-point guard in the league that we saw him be for the first 2 months of the season, but he's certainly not going to be this bad going forward, right? That's obviously due for some positive regression. Even if you think the initial hot streak was due for negative regression, he's at least somewhere in the middle and clearly took a step as a scorer that was sustainable. It hasn't worked out for injuries. Then he came back and there's nobody healed to adjust to that, have to adjust to Siakam. All these contextual elements that make sense for him to have a slow start. Mm-hmm. He's somewhere in the middle.
I will say, though, free trial is hilarious. Superstar free trial is funny. Like, whoever came up with that, you were in your bag. Good job.
Yeah. But, like, he'll be fine long term. He's going to be a star. But if he's going to be playing this cold streak is no sign of an ending yet. Really tough for their playoff outlook if this is going to be how he's shooting.
Yeah.
What made Tyrese so special earlier this season, everybody at least should have known that he had the playmaking on lock. But the shot making and the range in which he was using that earlier in the season is what set him apart and is what like helped him leap over several young star-studded players in general, not even point guards, but players in general, earlier this NBA season. And like going back to what you guys said, seeing how bad that he's been through, like whether it be injuries or roster adjustments or, you know what I'm saying, actually getting his chemistry right with Pascal Siakam. Like this is just impossible. This cannot be him. Shooting 36% on the year for him is terrible considering he's a 40% shooter every single year of his career.
Yeah. And again, I think he'll be fine long-term, but there is a lot of pressure, right? Because he gave himself the superstar standards from that early play, and he's getting the slander now in the regular season. Like Donovan said, going to be a cruel summer if you have to deal with that for a whole time because you fail in the biggest age. Look at Devontae Sabonis. Last year he was cooking, talk about one of the more underrated players in the league, flopped hard as fuck in a playoff setting, and dealt with a ton of slander. Now he's gotten his name back in good graces. People are back that he's underrated. We'll see if he can carry this positively. Tyrese Haliburton can be on the same watch.
It's only because he beat AD. It's only because he beat the Lakers. He has wins over AD, and they hate Anthony Davis more than they hate Sabonis. So if you beat him, you got it.
Dude, any way you can shit on AD, people are going to go for it, even if it means bigging up somebody they don't actually believe in.
Yeah.
Bro, facts. I think I saw Paul Pierce on Undisputed. That show's down in the trenches, bro. He was like, oh, I'd rather have Sabonis in one game rather than AD. Said some atrocious shit like that, bro.
Sure.
Good sure for thing, you, buddy.
I got a few donations to read out real quick. Gavin loves Isaac Honey, donated $1. He said, yo, love y'all boys, man. Did y'all see Wemby's 7x7? What's stopping him from finally being in the DPOY convo? 7x7 is not the right phrase to use, but yes, that's all the game. It was crazy. The only thing stopping him from being the DPOY candidacy is it has to be next year. Time. That's the only thing stopping him. Next year he'll be in it.
The Spurs suck, my boy. That's what's doing it too.
Yep. Shout out to KG for tipping $3, and shout out to Shake It Mo for tipping $1.
I know that's Nikhil. I just know it is, bro. You can't tell me that's not something Nikhil wouldn't say. Show yourself.
All right, who's your next player, Mo?
Oh, my next player. Okay, so we've been in our bags as of late. Let's get a little bit unserious. So a couple of months ago, Kyle Kuzma of the Washington Wizards went ahead and tweeted out, nobody wants to be that team, referring to the Detroit Pistons when they were on their atrocious run, atrocious slump of just like getting a whole lot of L's. You never seen nobody get L's like that ever before in NBA history. Historic, right? And now, as we speak, the Washington Wizards are quite literally the worst team in the NBA by a couple games. They've won 11 games so far this entire season and lost 57. the Detroit Pistons have more wins and less losses than them. And now they are the team that nobody wants to lose to. It's tough. Kyle Kuzma, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing. He's going to post himself in a picture of like Rick Owens or something and just be like, yo, life is good. He's not going to do a damn thing to help the Wizards win more games. That's not happening.
11-57. These motherfuckers are money laundering. That's ridiculous. Look how many games back.
42 and a half. A whole half a season. More than half a season.
42 games back out of first place.
Look, you thought 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Warriors was the greatest comeback of all time? No way, Jose. This is the greatest comeback of all time. In the worst way possible for the Wizards.
Bilal Coulibaly is out for the rest of the season now, too. Whew.
It's tough.
So what do we do about this? We have to, like, we got to call somebody, some government being, some kind of entity has to get involved in this.
What does their schedule look like? Do they have another game that they can win?
Let's look at it. I got to pull it up. Okay, next up, they play the Rockets with no Sengun, but the Rockets have won a lot of games as of late since Sengun got hurt. I'm going to say it. The Rockets are going to clap them.
Lost.
Kings?
Lost.
DeMontis Sabonis, 40-point triple-double. Clap them. Maybe they can beat the Raptors, who are down bad without Scottie Barnes.
They won't.
The Bulls?
See, you never know with the Bulls.
They're not beating DeMar DeRozan.
You never know, though. Okay, but I'll give them the L.
Okay, they got Bulls, Nets, Pistons. They got the Raptors, Bulls, Nets, Pistons. They gotta win a game out of these four. This is a shitty, easy lineup.
It might be the only chance they have.
Please let them lose. Please let them lose.
I want to see them lose too.
Please let them lose. Please let them lose.
Chat, comment how many more games do you think the Wizards are gonna win? They got 12 games, I think.
12.
No, 14. You're right. 14 more games. There's 14 games left. How many games do you think the Wizards are gonna win?
Two. I'm gonna say they might be. I think so. They definitely get one from that Nets, Pistons, Bulls, and Raptors. They should get one of those. They could beat the Blazers. They play the Bulls twice down the stretch. They play the Raptors twice down the stretch. They should be able to get one of those and then maybe beat the Blazers at home.
Okay.
Yeah. Two wins. The Blazers game is a win. That's a day game. Day game. Blazers have to travel across the country.
DeAndre Ayton not coming for show.
Nah, he gonna be tired.
Bed shopping.
Okay.
That's all right, man. Right. My next player, speak of the devil, at number three, DeMontis Sabonis.
Woo! Okay.
Even outside of me feeling like I'm crazy because I think he's not that valuable and everybody else is like, I'm the most underrated player in the league. Even outside of my feelings about his style of play, last year's playoffs did not go well for him. Draymond Green made him look unplayable in a playoff setting. Granted, he was in with a hand injury, so we can give him some benefit of the doubt there. And Draymond Green. Draymond Green stomped him out, probably put the fear of God in his eye. And even outside of that, Draymond Green is a genius level defender. If you're going to have somebody to expose a flawed big man, Draymond Green's the one to do it. So if we're being generous, it was a worst case scenario for him, health and matchup wise. This year, he can have a bounce back if those things don't go negatively. But there's not exactly bad defenses for him to see in the first round. He's probably going to see another great defender. It might be Rudy Gobert. It might be Chet Holmgren, which maybe that's a matchup that works for Sabonis. But, you know, there's going to be tough matchups to come out. And this team is firmly mid this season, right? They've been the sixth seed for a long time. Didn't get better as the rest of the conference got better. And the only way this team has any hope of seeing a future for themselves that's profitable and, you know, leads to winning is if he shows to be a good playoff performer. And we can really see him and De'Aaron Fox rise to the occasion and go shot for shot with the other best players in the league. If he doesn't do that, we're really going to look at this team's long-term outlook.
Man, oh man. Yeah, like, I can agree to that a little bit. Personally, I'd rather put the growth. Well, you need Sabonis to go ahead and show up on a night-to-night basis. It starts, the conversation starts and ends with your best players on the team, and Sabonis is one of the best players, one of the two, or the best player on the team, depending on how you feel about De'Aaron Fox. And yeah, like, I can agree to that. I would also say guys like Keegan Murray, you know, or whoever else needs to develop their game offensively for sure. When Domantas Sabonis does have those astronomical shitters, you need another reliable option. You need another reliable option. Malik Monk sadly can't be enough all the time. You can't expect him to give you 25 and 5 every other playoff night. You know what I'm saying?
Astronomical shitters.
Yeah.
So your star players should not be having astronomical shitters in the playoffs.
Yeah. So
you said there's a ceiling. Needs that sharp pack.
Yeah. Mail that to him.
Listen, the season ended today. They'd be playing the Timberwolves. I fear for what Rudy Gobert would do to Domantas Sabonis in the playoff settings and the discourse that would happen if it happened 2 years in a row.
It's a horrid matchup. Worst matchup you could ever draw up for him, bro.
But if it ends up being the Clippers somehow, which probably won't be actually, now I'm looking at it. Okay, so it's either the Nuggets or the Timberwolves. Not great either way.
I mean, it could be the Thunder.
Sure, it could be. That's probably the best matchup for him, offensively at least, to do well. Defensively, I don't see him being able to run out into the perimeter and defend Chet Holmgren in space. He's going to get fucking obliterated defensively.
Listen, they have to – let's take a step back, though. They need to focus on getting into the playoffs because I understand they're six, but they can barely easily drop down to 7 or 8.
Tied.
And be firmly in the play-in. And if it's De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis on one side and Devin Booker and Kevin Durant on the other – for one game, I'm taking the Suns in that matchup. Ooh. If it's the Kings and Luka and Kyrie, I'm taking the Mavs in that situation. I know that they have ran all over the Lakers. You're not telling me that in a one-game scenario, LeBron is not going to run as fast as he possibly can to make sure that Sabonis doesn't beat him. They're winning that game.
Chat, do y'all think the Kings are getting out of the play-in if they fall? Chat, let us know.
They better hope that they end up at 6.
Man.
And the Warriors? We saw what the Warriors did to them last year. The Warriors are going to obliterate them again.
Yeah.
If went into their house. Drop
there 50. Might be a legit situation, bro. Over this season against Rudy Gobert, this dude, Sabonis, is averaging 17 points, 3 points below his regular average, and he's shooting 13% less efficient than he usually does. He's
damn!
That is like... 13, he's shooting 63% for the season right now as we speak, and only 50% against the Timberwolves.
Rudy 13 Gilbert. Is massive.
That's like an alarming rate right there, bro. And that doesn't make me feel good. My bad, it's not 13, it's 11%. But still, still insane, bro. So, yeah, it's not looking good for them boys right now in the playoffs in terms of matchups. Tough.
Yeah, and... what does that mean, right? Like, so if it happens again and we don't... Because the whole point of this, I'm saying, is Sabonis is under a lot of pressure. If he fails to live up to it again, what happens?
Honestly, for any other star, something will probably happen. It's the Kings, and this is their first... Exactly. Like, this is the first era in honestly, this entire millennium that they've had legitimate success. They're keeping these guys around.
Yeah, you can't trade them or anything like that. Yeah. All you got to do is just hope for the best and hope that one of the random young guys like Keegan Murray or Keon Ellis or someone like that, please, for the love of God,
develop. Keon Ellis,
give
nice.
Us some, give us some type of impact, bro.
All right. Before we get to our next player, chat, we currently have 518 likes, 782 of y'all in here. Do us a favor, drop a like, help us stream, see more people. Mo, who's your next person? Or actually, Donovan, your turn.
My turn. We talking about nasty conversations over the summer. Luka Doncic, show up, show out. I believe you. Ooh. I believe you. I believe you that you are going to show up and show out. But you were saying it earlier. People already are talking about like, oh, you can't win with Luka. His play style isn't conducive to winning. And right, we've heard this throughout basketball history. Everyone's just going to – if they lose in the first round, they're going to call him white-hearted. Right, it's gonna be kind of nasty. I agree. Jason Kidd is gonna have to get out of there, but the conversations around Luka Doncic is like, Is he just a ball hog? Are the Mavs cooked, right? Like, they have him and Kyrie. Can they just do anything? It's not going to be well if they don't win a playoff series. I think that he 100% needs to go, like, God mode and win a series by himself.
Yeah. I'm not going to be willing to say he's under pressure, because I am of the opinion that it is not his fucking fault if they lose. But you're right that there's going to be that pressure from other people that are making bad faith, dumb arguments. Mm-hmm. So you're right. That pressure will definitely be there, whether it's deserved or not, I think.
For sure. Yeah.
We can gloss over it. Like, if you guys don't think that there's, like, actual pressure, then, like, it is what it is. I just think that when I'm thinking about, quote unquote, pressure in the NBA sense, like, it's all really about what nasty conversations are going to come out of it. Because these guys, like LeBron said in 2011, he's like, I'm going to go home to my wife and my family. I'm going to wake up in this nice house, right? I'm still going to be LeBron James. Like, everything's going to be fine for Luka if he loses in real life.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's not the conversation we're having. I get it.
That's okay.
conversation. But there is something to be said that, like, if you're clearly one of the best players in the world, you can't have 2 years in a row where you don't win a playoff series. So I understand why people go that direction. I think it's dramatic, but you should win a playoff series when you're playing this well, right?
That's exactly. Fair to say, but then you realize your coach is Jason Kidd, and the third best player on your team on a night-to-night basis has been, like, I don't know, Tim Hardaway Jr., Maxie Cleaver, even, like, relying on him for as a real impact player. Super tough. I can't name another top five player in the NBA who's been as down bad in the mud as Luka Doncic has over the last few years. Can't do it. So that's why I respect the take, Donovan, but it's too hot for me right now.
Yeah, you're definitely right, though.
I would burn Luka like that.
What did you say?
I might though. Who knows? We'll see how I feel after the first round. But yeah, that it will be there.
Jesus. Gotcha. Right, shout out to Osama bin Hoopin for $10. Nice name. Gross. And shout out to Elena for $1.
Sounds like a bunch of worlds.
Shout out to Osama. You thought I was going to make it there.
Wow.
Man, sneezing his heart out. Jesus. Yeah, y'all pray for Mo. He's going to sneeze his brains up.
Bro, facts. My sneezes are super powerful, bro. I feel like whenever I sneeze, my eyes just enlarge.
pop out the socket. Every time you go, you make the oxygen level in the room come down a little bit.
That's racist as hell. That's crazy. It's crazy.
Got it.
He's a strong nose. He's just racist as hell. Insane.
Oh my god. Okay. Next team under the most pressure. Oh man.
That's funny.
The Phoenix Suns. Does anyone else have them on the list, or am I the only
one? I definitely do.
They're not on my list.
They're my number one on my list. They deserve to be on
this. Ooh, man, I love to hear it. I kind of did my list out of order a little bit, but in my mind, in terms of pressure, they probably deserve to be number one, considering all of the assets that they gave up. Since that finals team, they have no players other than Devin Booker who remains on that roster. They have nothing going forward in the future. Cap locked. Bradley Beal has them in a headlock. They've only played, I don't know off the top of my head how many games they played together as an actual trio, KD, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. Hasn't been as much as you'd want. Someone's always going down with injury, so it's just like the perfect recipe for disaster. And as of late, they've been slumping hard. They had an embarrassing loss to the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Bobby Portis running around out here like he was prime Ryan Anderson. It was ridiculous.
Ryan Anderson? Nice. Yeah, I agree. They have not been good, and it's alarming to their future because, you know, we see a lot of all-in moves like this as of late, right? Making these super teams and multiple stars. Typically, there comes a certain level of regular season success, and it comes down to what they do in the playoffs. This has been by far the least successful of those in the regular season, right? Like, even when they're healthy and they're, you know, showing you who they are over a long sample size without injuries, they're kind of just mid. At a certain point, they're showing us who they are, and I don't think they're good enough to make a deep run. Do you, Donovan?
No, I don't. I think we've seen kind of like this evolution from KD, where he's still going to get his, but it doesn't feel like the same impact as what it used to be. And I think with him, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, it's a lot of ball to go around. We'll see how it fits in the playoffs. Because look, here's the thing: when they are all firing, that offense is very much like kind of unstoppable. But they are it kind of, like when all three of them are on. Like if you have three bucket getters who are just getting buckets all the time, I know that's what I'm saying. I think that you can have a situation. I think you can have a situation where, like last year in the playoffs against Denver, KD and Booker were on fire, and you can kind of replicate that with three high power scorers like them. I don't know if they're going to be able to one, rely on all three of them to be healthy throughout the playoffs to make that happen. And then two, I also just think that other teams have more immediate depth, right? Like not even talking about your sixth, seventh, and eighth man. I'm talking about four and five, right? You're in your starting lineup, it's better, and that's probably going to end up winning out.
Chow, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe in the Suns right now? Because I just don't see any reason to really believe in them more than like a 4 or 5, right? Like, they have not had a great run where they click things together on both sides of the ball. Kevin Durant's their best defender by far. Red flag. Devin Booker's the best passer by far. Red flag. Hugely reliant on Jusuf Nurkic. Fucking crimson flag. Gigantic flag raining across the sky. Bradley Beal's your third best player and he's never there. The biggest flag I've ever seen, right? Like, there's so many red flags going up and down and so little things to hold on to that we've seen this season to make you believe that they can really put together when the time's necessary. And for what they gave up and for how all in they are, if this team doesn't work out this year, they're probably not going to get any better next year. Who knows when there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel when you're building around a superstar that's this old. It's kind of spooky for a Suns fan.
It's spooky as hell, especially when you're sitting here watching them play against the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis, whatever we feel about them, they're still one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics, they've been on a historic run post-All-Star break. Okay, cool. Outclassed again. They faced the Denver Nuggets like last week or so, or a week and a half ago, and they actually won. Great game by Kevin Durant. I thought I need this.
God damn. He faked himself out.
I just pump faked. I was like, I thought he did that. Oh, no. There you go. God damn, bro. Allergies. You need to take my meds. Okay. What was I saying? They just seem outclassed by a lot of different teams. And it just feels like everyone is stretching their hands to the max capacity. And it just feels like they don't have the bandwidth.
Nice, good corporate term.
I used to pull that on my bag all the time when I was in corporate. Anytime I didn't get shit done, yeah, man, just don't have the bandwidth.
Honestly, is there any current playoff team that has a bleaker future than the Phoenix Suns?
Playoff team.
Yeah, because obviously there's shitty teams at the bottom. Like the Wizards have a very bleak future. They won't be good for quite some time. Same about whatever other bottom feeder you want to talk about.
Well, they're in the play-in. Considering, like, they don't have any of their fucking picks, they sold their soul for a couple of years to Kevin Durant and also Bradley Beal for the entirety of his contract, which is an atrocity.
How do you feel about, and I guess the Suns might win this or lose this, depending on how you look at it, because of the lack of draft picks. How bright is the future of the Sacramento Kings for y'all?
I mean, you know how I feel. Not the very bright. The future
is now. Like,
exactly. I don't think that they have a future. I really think it's just right now.
And at least De'Aaron Fox is young. Keegan Murray's young.
Yeah. You talk about Kevin them in a different way. They're on like different spectrums. I feel like in terms of just like what each team has, like how much each team has to lose, I'll compare them to a team like the Dallas Mavericks, maybe, because you bought all in so much. Dallas Mavericks, it doesn't look like it because pick protection and stuff like that. But they sold in so much in terms of like building super mid teams around Luka Doncic on a year in, year out basis. And you've done the same thing with Devin Booker this past year. So I compare them to that light because these two players, in my head, if their organization keeps on goofing up, they're gonna face the same consequence, which is their star player ended up being like, yo, I don't have shit around me anymore. I gotta go. And all you do is disappoint me.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. They're so all in. Yeah, but they're my number one by far. They're my number one by far. People don't talk about it enough. Like, this is a disaster waiting to happen of like 2010's Brooklyn Nets level proportions if it goes a certain way.
They've had just about the same amount of disastrous season as, or more of a disastrous season than any other team in the NBA this year, for sure.
Yeah, man. All right, Don, what's your next team?
Two-parter.
Okay.
Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans.
Interesting. Wow. So why do you specify Zion Williamson?
Because Zion Williamson has had an up and down season, and we've seen him. We talked about him earlier. We've seen him at his quote unquote lowest, where they are getting blown out by 40 points in the in season tournament. He's out of shape, and everyone is obviously doing the thing where you're questioning if you can build a team around Zion. And then you have the second half of that where he's turned around. He's lost a lot of weight. He's been hooping, and you see both sides of it. So there's that. That's one. And I just want to see these. Next step for Zion, and now that you are in shape and you are kind of being put more in a position to affect the game, can you rise up to the challenge, to the task, whatever, and let's see what you look like in a playoff series. That's one. The Pelicans get added to that because, as we've talked honestly at like nauseam up until this point, they have too many good pieces and it doesn't seem like a lot of things fit. So after this playoff series or after this playoff run, what does the team look like? Are you going to move on from Jonas, from Brandon? Is Trey Murphy going to end up, you know, getting into the starting lineup? How are we going to maneuver things? Unless they win a championship this year, moves have to be made in New Orleans. So that's why there's a lot of pressure on them, because they need to figure out where they're going as a franchise.
100%. They're such an interesting inflection point. Like, we talked about them heavier earlier.
Yeah,
they're so good, but have such limitations to that ceiling. Like, super high floor, higher than most people in the playoffs, but limited ceiling. And it's like, that's a hard point to be at for a GM, because you don't want to mix up anything too much because you have a winning formula, but you know you had to make a big leap. Like, it's what we saw with the Raptors for a while before they traded for Kawhi. We saw it with the Bucks now before they traded for Dame. There's obviously mixed success when you make those type of moves. Mm-hmm. But that type of move is probably necessary for them, right?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, and luckily for them, you know, they traded away Jrue Holiday a couple years ago, and they have picks up until the year 2027, thankfully, through that trade. Also, the whole AD thing happened. They have another Lakers pick this summer, and over the next 2 years, they have 5 first-round picks, you know?
That's a lot.
That means a lot. That's a lot of picks. That's a lot of picks, and they also have a Milwaukee 2027 pick, which could be hella valuable depending on what happens with Damian Lillard. But at the same time, as I remember, Giannis signed that big-ass max, so I guess it's not as valuable. But regardless of the fact, it's another pick, and a pick is a pick. So they have the flexibility. I think all eyes should be on them, but I wouldn't say they have a lot of pressure, because this is the first time that we might be able to see Zion Williamson in the playoffs, barring injuries like happened last minute.
Yeah. They have a lot of vehicles at their disposal to get better. They just have to want to get better, you know. They have to agree that they need to make a move. But that's a lot of patience named out. Like, they have a lot of interesting opportunities. Like, I don't know who's going to come available this summer. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell's name is always in the mix. Trae Young. I don't know who else. I'm blanking on who else is rumored. Maybe they want a Zach LaVine. I don't know. There's going to be options out there.
Yuck.
Yeah, yuck.
You went from Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young to Zach LaVine? God damn! What?
Yeah. But there's going to be somebody out there that they can afford to go out and get if they want to. They just have to be willing to get rid of some of their depth, right? Which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a tough offseason. They have decisions to make for sure.
Yeah. But I have one player left since I had the Suns number one. My number two, Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard has been fantastic his whole career, has been coasting on a not very competitive team because, listen, they sucked ass and he couldn't do anything about it. He wasn't quite good enough that he had the type of expectations to lift up that ass like a Luka Doncic does. So he just had to succumb to his ass and just deal with it and be ass with the ass. Now he's finally on a great team.
I know.
Now he's finally on a great team, and he's the swing factor, right? Like, he's the way that they're either going to be a championship contender and be, like, top tier, hard to beat, or they're going to be disappointing and we're going to see the defense hold them back and the offense never quite clicks and everything, right? Like, it all starts and stops with how he plays next to Giannis. We know what we're getting from Giannis. What second option Dame looks like will decide their ceiling. And if he doesn't do it, it's like, oh, God, this trade was a mistake. And we are the oldest team in the NBA, and we have no more picks to do anything with. And we're just stuck with an aging small point guard, which is never a good recipe for long-term success. And our star is out of options.
Do you think that anybody – obviously, there's going to be a little bit of slander if the Bucks don't make a run. But given the turmoil at the beginning of the season and the fact that Doc Rivers is now their coach – do you think some of that pressure from Dame gets alleviated if they don't win?
No.
To where you can kind of just like chalk up. You don't think you can like chalk it up going into next season and be like, all right, like we have a full training camp, full year, all that type of stuff.
I don't think it'll be like they're doomed. So like, I think you could tell yourself that like they'll be better next year when they have more time. But there's still a lot of pressure. You can't waste any year. Dame is not young, and he only has so many prime years left. And we see every game that Giannis sits, he goes berserk. He still has that in him. Mm-hmm. He just, for a variety of reasons, hasn't been able to capture that with Giannis on the court with him. There's going to be pressure inherently no matter what when you only have so many years of a window. Like, who knows what Brook Lopez looks like next year? Every year, there's just like the sand and the hourglass is getting closer and closer to the bottom of when he eventually becomes washed. You don't have any time to give yourself benefit of the doubt that next year's the year.
Tragic. Yeah. I think in terms of, for me, when I think about Damian Lillard, I agree with your whole sentiment, of course, but when it comes to Damian Lillard, I look at him and I'm just like, in terms of like how a lot of people view you as one of the, I don't know, maybe four now best point guards or three, whatever way you want to slice it, best point guards in the NBA, your stature and just how people view you may be dwindling just a little bit, you know?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
That's just due to father time, and of course, like with how he's played over the last few years. So, I can agree with that. That's fair, very fair. So, yeah.
Who's your next player slash team, Mo? How are you done?
So I got, I believe, two more teams. Most storied franchises in the entire NBA: the Boston Celtics, of course. No shock to everyone. It's yours as well.
Yep. Mine is the two-part. I have Tatum and the Celtics.
I literally wrote the exact same thing. Tatum, Celtics, in that order.
Let's go.
Yeah, Tatum has been by far the most privileged superstar in the entire NBA. And I haven't seen a more privileged star in years, bro, than someone like Tatum. You come into the league, bam, you get paired up against, or you have Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward as your vets. And you get put behind Danny Ainge as your, you know, as your GM. You got second-year players like Jalen Brown. He's just been put in a really blessed situation year in and year out. Always has one of the best coaches along his side. Always has one, had before this season, one of the deeper teams in the entire NBA. Just always seems to be stacked. And when it comes to lights being the brightest, something always happens and the deck of the cards always fall. And it's partly because of you.
Damn, look at that. They have pressure, I agree. I don't necessarily think it's like fraud watch or anything. I just think that this is one of the best teams we've seen in regular season history, of our lifetimes at least. And to not win with that would be a travesty of wasted opportunity. You don't get many years like this where everything clicks on every level and you're just like by far the most dominant team in the league for start to finish the whole year. That comes with pressure no matter what. Even if you feel like you're very capable of doing it the next year, if you don't win, it's just sheer wasted opportunity.
Yeah, and I think especially at this point before Jaylen Brown's extension kicks in, like you have to go ahead and think about where we were last year and even the year before that. 2022 finals, Tatum gets outplayed by Jaylen in the finals, and you have kind of all these conversations. Nasty ones, but you have the conversations bubble up of like, is Jaylen Brown better than Jason Tatum? Da, 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 da.
God, I hate it.
I remember those.
God. It was so stupid.
It was awful. But then you have last year where they're the one seed and they go down 3-0 and then they lose in game seven to the Heat. And it's once again, you guys underperform. And we're at the point where people we've seen the Celtics get to the conference finals, get to the finals multiple times. And for Tatum, who has tried to wedge himself into the MVP conversation, if that's what you want to do, okay, fine. If you want to be the MVP, you want to be an MVP candidate, rise to the occasion. You're going to have to lead your team to the finals and do what all the other MVP candidates are doing. And we have yet to see that consistently from Tatum in the playoffs. We've seen moments, right? He's gone crazy in the last 4 minutes of game six. He's had 50 points in a game seven. He swept KD out of the playoffs. We've seen it from time to time. I need to see it for a full run. And when you have, like you said, the best supporting cast in the league from 2 through 6, now's the time. So, yes, if he does not get it done, the slander will be no short of glorious slander for like 4 months.
And it'll be deserved, too, because you're never going to have a better chance to win the finals than this year. If you can't do it, it's not meant to be. Like, simple as that, this core is never going to do it if it's not for this year.
And I think if it doesn't happen this year, all my a lot of thoughts that I had about Jason Tatum will be like true at that point in time.
You're saying you're getting NASA agendas off and you're not going to stop. I respect it.
Bro, next year, Jaylen Brown is estimated to make $49.3 million.
Good for him. Damn. That's a fuck ton of money.
That's a bag. 35% of the cap goes to Jaylen Brown next year. Estimated, but whatever.
And another 35% to Jason Tatum, or is he only on 30? Probably 35 as well.
Let me check his contract real quick.
Well, it was 35 when he signed it, but now the cap's changing, but... He's ridiculous, right? They're all in the truest sense. Even if you believe they're going to make it or believe they can make it back next year, pressure comes.
Yeah, so next year is estimated 25% of the cap goes to Tatum.
Oh, okay.
Still a lot. God,
so 60% of your money is going towards those two guys. You don't know what Al Horford is going to look like either coming back for next year. Jrue Holiday is also... I think his extension, like that time is coming up as well, where they have to start talking about that stuff. So it's a lot of money to go around in Boston, a lot of decisions, and then they need to get a chip right now.
Yep. All right, who's your next team? Who's your next team, Mo?
Hey, last team that I got, second most or one of the other most storied franchises in the entire NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Interesting.
Man, it's just so sad. I don't even know if the pressure is the right word for this team. I guess in the context that I'm about to mention it is, because, of course, Alfred Sengun is out for the season, and you would expect a team like the Houston Rockets to like cool off and whatnot, but they aren't that far behind Los Angeles Lakers in terms of seeding-wise. And also on top of that, what makes things a little bit worse is seeing them finally give up that ninth spot that they've been holding for dear life for over the last few months to the Warriors now, who just beat them the other night. So in terms of staying in the play-in, there's a hell of a lot of pressure for that, because the Rockets have been cooking one of the best defenses in the entire NBA. Jalen Green has stepped up to the plate over the last few days, and he's been that guy, was just Western Conference Player of the week. Congratulations. But yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
yeah, it is. I didn't put them on my list, obviously, because I just think it's fucking cooked. I think it's over. I think this team is ass. And as a Lakers fan, I just have not enjoyed this season whatsoever from any element, from start to finish. Actually, I take that back. I enjoyed it when they won the in-season tournament and were the 4 seed for a week and a half. And it was like, oh shit, they're getting it together. Then they proceeded to stop getting it together and completely fall apart. And I just think they're not good. And I think they're not going to be good. Since the All-Star break, they are 4th in offense and 27th in defense. They have clearly decided to go all in on offense and have been humming on that side. But it's Anthony Davis against the fucking world on defense. He has to defend everybody. It's like you're watching those teams where it's one offensive player and a bunch of bums around them, and they have to like just carry everybody by the fucking power of their sheer willpower. That's what AD's doing defensively. D'Lo, Cone, LeBron doesn't try as hard as he did last year defensively. That's the thing we've seen the most Father Time hit him with. Rui, Cone, Reeves, Cone. It's just not been any help in any regard And I don't see how that gets better in a playoff setting, especially if we don't know if Jared Vanderbilt's going to get better. And I don't think there's pressure by the simple fact that we know what this team is, and they suck, and they've wasted the LeBron era. They destroyed their team after 2021 when they made the Russell Westbrook trade. We're just witnessing the aftermath now, and the price you pay when you make decisions that are that bad.
If they miss out in the playoffs, hell will break loose, bro. I'm telling you that right now.
If they miss out again, I want LeBron to leave, even as a Lakers fan. I want him to free himself from the shackles of the Los Angeles Lakers if they miss the playoffs again. He does not need to be doing this. Let him go somewhere else and have a career worth talking about.
He won't leave.
He won't, but I wouldn't blame him if he did.
That's gross, bro. That is so sad and gross.
I hate the Lakers front office with all my fucking heart. I hate their ownership. I hate it so much. I hate being a fan of this team right now. I sit back and I think about the fact that at one point I got to watch Alex Caruso, Danny Green, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kyle Kuzma, Dwight Howard all flank my two-star players, and then they proceeded to lose all of them within a year and a half for no reason.
Definitely one of the worst ran organizations. So interesting to say that like they're one of the worst ran organizations when they traded for LeBron and AD, but that doesn't take like that's not a brain genius move, you know what I'm saying? I see GMs and I see like all the low key moves around the corner. That's a real like that's where the good GMs separate themselves from the great GMs, and Rob Pelinka has proven himself to be neither of those things.
Bro, they had a winning formula of being huge, suffocating every team. 6'5 Alex Caruso, 6'6 Danny Green, 6'5 KCP, LeBron, 6'9 Kyle Kuzma, 6'10 Anthony Davis, 6'10 Dwight Howard, all just fucking beating you down low every single possession. And then they decided to add Russell Westbrook into the mix and completely abandoned the winning formula. We have witnessed an all-time great fumble of talent at an all-time great level. And it's been talked about, obviously, but not as much as it will be 5 years from now when we look back and see how it finishes and see it go out in tragic fashion. It's really embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Keep going. Keep going.
Someone in chat said Don looks like he needs a nap.
Yeah, he looks tired as
well. Do I look tired? I'm honestly not tired.
Yeah, man. The Lakers suck, and as a fan, it's disheartening. And I just can't wait for the next era, whatever it may be, because this one's cooked.
Tough. Well,
love to hear it.
Hey, but Jokic is thriving, so my other favorite player is doing great. Back to back on the way.
Oh, bro. Yeah, nah. Good luck. Hey, at least D'Angelo Russell's having a great season as well.
I guess. Good for him. He's making shots. Taking us so far, isn't it?
What else you gotta ask? He's over here talking trash to Dennis Schroeder and like making sure everybody knows, like, yeah, man, Darvin Ham's a little weird sometimes, but I just go ahead and push through it every other day.
And they didn't fire Darvin Ham. They didn't make any moves at the deadline. This fucking team is awful. God. Spencer, what's your next team, Donovan? Do you have any left?
No, I'm done.
All right. That's the end of that. What do y'all want to do next?
Ooh.
Let's. Who's playing tonight? What are the games looking like?
Let's check. Chat, what games are y'all watching right now? Let us know, chat. What are the good games that y'all been watching tonight?
I think the games tonight are kind of shit.
Right now, let's pull this up.
Sixers. Never mind. I said Sixers Heat. Never mind.
Timberwolves Jazz. Jazz up by 5. Second quarter. Oh.
Where
Knicks Warriors would be kind of fun.
Knicks Warriors is interesting.
Oh, games home. Okay. NBA.com is confusing me. Yeah, so now we have the Heat and the 76ers are playing. No Joel Embiid. Yawn. Bulls, Trailblazers. The Trailblazers are money laundering. Yawn. Timberwolves, Jazz. No Cat. Yawn. Kings, Grizzlies. Yawn. Knicks, Warriors should be an interesting game tonight.
Yeah.
Definitely. The Cavs face off against the Pacers. And the Cavs won by 5, 108 to 103.
Tyrese Haliburton again falls below 15 points.
Oh, bro.
Hate to see it. This man's sneezing his heart out again.
What was that line for, let's see, 14, 12, and 6 in 32 minutes?
Oh, sorry, my Siri popped up again. This thing is, every time I say sneeze, Siri pops up and I can't hear you guys.
Karma.
I'll say 14, 12, and 6 for Tyrese. Okay.
Yeah, but he shot, like, what, 1 for 9 from 3. God damn, he's trying so hard to get that shit off.
I feel so bad for him at this point.
At this point in time, question for you guys. Is Tyrese Haliburton making an All-NBA team?
I wouldn't vote him All-NBA when he's been asked for fucking over a third of the season.
Yeah.
He might. That's listen to Zach Lowe's
Is he going to make the games? I think he, like, just barely, right?
Yeah, that's why he's been playing so shitty, is he's forced himself to make the games because he'll make a lot of money if he makes All-NBA. That's why he's been playing through it, and he's been looking like dog shit. It's going to backfire.
Go through it, though. So, like, you have Luka, Shea, Brunson.
D-Mitch. Curry's been better.
Okay.
How many are we at?
Another guard? Or is it...
Jaylen Brown's been better. Jaylen Brown deserves an All-NBA spot over him at this point.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. This is no – you don't even have to do guards because there's no positions for the first time this year. Yeah.
Oh, he stands no chance then. There's no position getting in there. He's cooked.
Yeah, nah.
He is, man. He was so good to start the year.
Yeah, his Lin Sanity run is over.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man, well. I think that's the end of the stream. I think it's everything we had to talk about today. We did our job. We dusted our hands off. When you lay your head on that pillow tonight, just know I gave you all I had.
What do you mean? I love it.
We'll see y'all next week.
All right, eaters.
Shout out to Archie for donating $300. What a fucking beast.
Good God, man.
Kevin Glicky, your spot is taken. See y'all later.